Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
We're gonna go into outer space and chase Satan out of here. How does that song go? I couldn't think of an alien rap song, guys.
Where did Satan? What?
That song is about chasing Satan out. That song. They're also a bit about alien going into space
Is
and ironing your shirt. It's a weird song. It was the only sort of vaguely black song I could think of about aliens, though.
Jesus Christ.
Are there raps about aliens? It's
I'm
an
sure
alien
there are.
rap, but I'm here to say ET's a fucking bitch and
Didn't
we'll
they
kill
do
him
one
with
for
hammers.
Men in Black?
Men in Black rap, that sounds plausible. No, just well, rapper is in it, Abby. That's what you're doing there. It's the
Well, there
Men in
was the
Black
song. I
rap
thought
that
you did
we.
one for it because,
Yeah.
right theme tune, sting the theme tune.
Sing the
Yes.
theme tune, Abby. Go.
Here
Men
come the
in
Men
Black.
in Black, Galaxy Defenders, something,
Well.
something.
Right.
Whoa.
It's been replaced by a parody I heard later, which was called The Blacked Up Men.
Oh dear.
And I can't. It's gone.
Well, anyway, welcome to Spoiler Film Film Conversation Array.
Excellent start.
Yeah. We should change the name of the podcast to Tangent City because I don't think we're capable. The listeners don't even know how many fucking tangents we had before getting to saying hello badly, which I do every week. Anyway, hello. This is a film podcast where we chat about a film. This week on Spoiler Film Film Conversation Array, me, Richard, Anthony,
Hello.
Jamie.
Hello.
And Abby
Hello.
are going to discuss, and this is the thing. When someone asks what's the film this week, I'm like, oh, there's a black guy, alien black guy, his brother from another planet. That's the film, right? But
Yes,
I always
apologies
want
in
it.
advance to everyone for
It doesn't.
everything.
And is it easy to remember the title of this film for everyone? Because I was like, oh, brother, we're at black. What? I could never remember the film title. I do remember it now, I think. Did anyone else go like, what is this? There's a
No. If you
urban
think I'm
alien.
gonna recover from "Oh brother, we're all black," you are mistaken.
Well, I
This
couldn't
is
remember, brother.
another one of those episodes where like, yep, four very white people from the UK. Apologies all up front. But
Yeah,
no,
sure.
this is an easy one for me to remember as the Simpsons obsessive, because there's an episode that the title of the episode is a parody of the title of this film. So,
What's the Simpsons episode called?
Brother from the Same Planet. It's the one where Bart gets he enters into that, like, Bart and Homer have a falling out and they do the older brother adoption thing. So, like, Bart has like an adoptive older brother as a father figure, and Homer adopts a kid as his like little brother,
Right.
Peppy, Pepsi.
Okay. But like, so that clues you into this being caught. I just don't think the film title is a very good pun because it's not really a pun, is it? It's just like brother from another, and then you're expecting the word mother, but instead you get planet, which is such a big change of syllables. The pun doesn't register for me, you know? If it was
You
like
get it.
brother from another mothership, or from a mothership, does that work? I don't know.
Oh, that would actually be quite. That is a
That
pretty good
would have
one.
been all right.
Yeah, well, they didn't call that. Anyway, Anthony, you're going to give us the details. Thank you. Please do that now.
Okay. So it's the brother from another planet, by
See? See?
the way. Start again.
Oh, the brother, where art black?
Start
Sorry.
again. And it was released in 1984. It's a sci-fi film, I suppose. About an alien who lands on Earth and who looks like a black man, and he is being chased by these men in black who want to take him back while he tries to integrate into Harlem in New York City and goes through various vignettes, I suppose,
Yeah,
of life in the
fitting in
city.
as a more an illegal alien come immigrant, but not from another country like we're used to, but from another planet. What? Oh my God! It's like an allegory for the immigration process into the United States of America.
Yeah,
It's not
don't
so
say.
different, is it really? Apart from he has three toes and powers. But it's just like The Godfather, basically. Isn't it? You know, classic immigrant story.
It was written and directed by John Sayles.
Sorry, you couldn't say it again. Sorry.
It was written and directed by John Sayles, and it stars Joe Morton, Daryl Edwards, Steve James, Bill Cobbs, and David Stratham.
Which one of those actors plays the brother?
Joe Morton.
Joe Morton.
It took me far too long to realise where I knew Joe Morton from.
Oh, yeah?
He's Miles Dyson from Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. Took you ages. You said that, and I just wanted you to say. And I knew because I'd read it. It's trivia. Went, oh, yeah. But, yeah.
Sucking the fun out of things.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Like bone marrow from a shin bone. Ooh, is that fun? Now it's just a dry, boring bone. Anyway. So, yes, Anthony, how did you come across the brother from another planet, and why did you pick it for the pod?
Oh, well, fun story. I wanted to do a cheesy B-movie sci-fi from the 80s. So I looked up underrated sci-fi from the 80s, and a film popped up called The Brother from Another Planet. And in my head, I already had the film figured out. I knew exactly what it was going to be, and I knew it was going to be perfect.
Yep.
Exactly what I wanted. And it was totally not what I was expecting.
Oh, okay. What were you... you were expecting a more on-the-nose comedy or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's called The Brother from Another Planet. I mean, just the name alone conjures in my head, like, slapstick.
Well...
Blaxploitation stuff.
Yeah.
I would say it's an early 80s film with a black cast directed by a white guy pitched as a comedy. So I was like, oh, I know exactly what this is going to be. And again, nope.
Okay, good. So it fucked with people's expectations. I didn't Absolutely. Expect it to be like the film Being There, which, you know, the Peter Sellers film yeah. we did one time. It's just like, you know, man with ill-defined special needs doesn't say much, so everyone projects onto him that he's a genius.
I wasn't
the same
expecting,
with this one, really.
I wasn't expecting sincerity.
Yeah, and tackling the sad world of crime and overdosing children and stuff. Yeah, drugs are bad. Aliens are going to come and stop drugs in Harlem.
Well, not really.
Also,
just take them.
Take them and have a what's that instrument with the tin drum thing?
Steel drum,
Rastafarian trip out. Actually, there's just lots of steel drums used as the score. Really, it's quite fun. You can't really play the steel drum in an ominous way, could you? Red-filled Caribbean island. Oh. But yeah, so you just were googling something that would suit, and it came up. That's fine. And it wasn't what you were expecting. That's good. And Jamie, the same is it? You weren't like, you just would, you hadn't heard of it, but you thought you had it sized up.
Like I said before, the only reason I had heard of this film was because of that one Simpsons episode from the early 90s parodying the name. And yeah, I expected, I think I feel like I was expecting exactly what Anthony was expecting. Yeah. Just a really like over the top slapsticky, kind of probably tone deaf, goofy sci-fi comedy, and it, like really as soon as it started, I was like, "Oh wow, no, I am this. That is absolutely not what I'm in for."
It's got shades of Barfly as well, like kind of just let's take a look into a dive bar and get to know the characters, argue and stuff.
Yeah, well, we'll get into it, I suppose, but some of my favourite stuff in the film was that stuff.
It's all my friends. Sorry, that's from Barfly. To all my brothers. Yeah.
No. No.
No.
Abby hit him with a rolled up newspaper.
I'm too far away. But it wasn't too bad, but that is literally the edge, the limit line.
Well, I am also guilty of half expecting the kind of blaxploitation. Possibly tasteless, because it's like a forgotten film a little bit. If it was like this amazing, poignant sort of... What's that? Jeff fucking nothing. I was trying to remember. I couldn't think of the name Starman. I was thinking like, oh, it might be like Starman a bit. You know, got a freaky alien who could look like a human, figures things out. Yeah. I mean, it's got similarities, but I did suspect from the title, yeah, okay, this is going to be playing with stereotypes, but really it was just sort of a social commentary film with shades of weirdness littered throughout for fans of conventional wacky alien movies. Abby, have you heard of this one?
No, not at all.
But it must have been right up your alley. You love the mean streets of Harlem, don't you, Abby? Anything about that culture, you're like, that's me.
I've got patience for anything that's like alien crash lands in a place.
Sure.
I've got some time for that.
Yeah, why not? But he plonks down, what's the island called with the Statue of Liberty on? What's it called?
Ellis?
Ellis Island, I think, is it? Is it Ellis Island? Well, anyway, that's the classic port. That's the thing you see when you come in to America as an immigrant from that side of the world. So it's the classic, like, in the sea. And then I think our alien, who doesn't get a name because he can't speak, conveniently enough. He can understand but not speak. Isn't that convenient, guys?
Mm.
He's possibly in where they check in, like immigrants, or they used to, right?
I think it's like an abandoned old immigration
processing.
Yeah,
and he's hearing the voices or ghosts or something of the past.
Yeah, immigrants. that was the first point in the film where I was like, oh, this is not at all what I am expecting.
Yes, same. I really enjoyed stuff like that, and then they lost it as time went on.
Yeah. Because it was the 80s as well, I expected, well, this alien guy, he's going to be skateboarding and using nunchucks.
That's what I thought. By the end of the film, he's going to be dressed like Eddie Murphy in Raw.
Yeah. But no.
Exactly the film I was expecting.
his crash landing clothes look kind of, I don't know if they're torn or it's just alien fashion, just very baggy.
No, I think it's... Yeah, I think he's clearly on the run in some sense, because like we get it later on, there's some kind of conflict going on, and like he is part of a race that's being, it's a really clear allegory for like black people being persecuted.
Running away from the cotton farms or something.
Yeah, so it's like the men in black appear and it's two white guys. We'll talk about them. I got lots of things to say. Very positive things to say about those characters.
Well, be careful how you butter your bread.
Well, I mean, not positive. Oh, shit. Okay.
Jamie loves slave owners from other planets.
Look,
he wants him to go back to cotton picking Mars.
I was on that boat to Ellis Island playing my violin. But no, yeah, that he's being pursued, and I think the outfit he arrives in is meant to evoke that like escaped slave kind of.
He passes easily for a homeless person because his clothes are a mess. He's not severed a leg, and he's hopping about looking for a shoe. Which I think, does he find a shoe in the trash?
Find a shoe in the bin. Yes.
Yeah.
Why would there be a shoe in the bin?
You've got rid of shoes in the bin several times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're no good, though. They wouldn't be a nice...
Well, he doesn't know that.
Yeah. Take what he can get. He's got no shoes at all.
He's only got one foot initially, so he grows magically grows his foot back, right?
I'm glad they immediately established that. Like, it's a good... It means that when that stuff happens later in the film, it's not like, so now he can heal wounds. It's like, no, immediately it's one of the first things we see him do.
Yeah, but why even have him lose a limb to grow back a limb anyway?
To show that he can grow them back. To show that he can, like, heal.
But the one thing, so he looks like a conventional human, apart from his toes, right?
Yeah.
How would we describe them?
We have
the
to?
Noise I made.
I mean, Abby, you invoked that they might have been off pod, you suggesting they were like a certain other New York based alien.
Oh, no.
Well, not alien, mutant, really. Abby? Hmm?
In terms of form, the foot is like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, but in terms of style, it's more like Splinter.
And then we found out, having gone, oh, do the turtles have 3 feet? Or 3 toes? Or two? Jesus Christ. Do the turtles have Do the turtles have 3 toes or two? And there was some debate before the pod, and then it turns out some people draw them with 3 incorrectly, but actually it's the old 2 toes on the feet, 3 fingers, is it, for the turtles?
Yeah.
But then a bit of, yeah, skanky nails that could...
It's like he has the feet of, like, if you crossed a velociraptor with a hobbit.
So, basically, the characters from Outworld in Mortal Kombat, they all have feet in sandals that are just, like, skanky like that.
Yeah.
I know, Baraka or fucking, what's that beefy guy who wears a loincloth called with a skirt with a fucked up helmet?
Shao Kahn.
Shao
Kahn. Yeah, I think that's Shao Kahn.
Yeah, he looks like he'd get on with this guy's toes. Sorry. Yeah, see, there is weird toes. That's the one thing that makes him different. And the fact that it's a bit awkward that he's moot, because, you know, I guess moot people have a tough time. But it's weird, because immigrants wouldn't even understand you when you're asking them questions. They couldn't be asked to write a story about an immigrant who can't understand you. They're like, well, we'll understand him. He just won't ever communicate other than thumbs up for I live up in space. And what else does he do to communicate? He kind of waves.
He learns more sign language as the film goes on, the more he gets used to communicating with people.
Yeah. So, yeah, he gets into some trouble. He looks like a homeless guy. He's pretty much in Harlem from the get-go. And there's a bit of learning the ropes on how does human society work by accidentally getting in trouble for trying to nick pears or something he's trying to eat them off a grocery stall, and then he's trying to he fucks with a cashier and her money.
I like that. Again, it was one of those moments where I was like, this is a lot more sincere and sad than I was expecting, where he, like, steals the money from the till to give it to the cashier to, like, pay for the food because he doesn't understand.
It reminds me of the bit in Spirited Away where he's, like, sicking up money to try and give it to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the no face.
Yes, no face.
No face.
Yeah. I wouldn't have come. I mean, I'm not an alien in another planet, so maybe I would come to the wrong conclusions. But I'm thinking. Don't just not get sidetracked. Why would you go? Okay, so people pay for groceries by using money. Why would you? Surely you'd know not to give back the money from. Like, it doesn't make sense to take the money from in the.
Well, yeah, he has no frame of reference for it, though. How would he know?
Yeah, I guess I don't know the bartering system from his planet, do I? Whatever, we get it. He don't get it, and he's going to get in trouble with the cops, but he like, jumps up out of the cops' reach somewhere. I don't know.
Onto a pole.
Just, classic Aladdin style, getting away from the cops.
And again, like, this is the film I was expecting. You know, the alien turns up, you know, mistakenly does something wrong, is chased by the police, but makes a fantastic getaway.
Or gets choked out and put in jail and has protests about him being brutalised by a white cop or something. It's all caught on tape. Becomes a whole civil rights movement. Who knows?
Kind of where it stops.
Well, they get they have him. Does he take a kid to like a museum and points at like someone in the museum of black people and was like, "That's me,"
well,
basically.
He's sort of explaining his own history to the kid by matching it with what happened with like people brought over from Africa in the US, and is also like spelling it out for the audience as well, what the allegory is, which like it's a little bit on the nose, but at the same time,
whatever.
You have to fucking spell stuff out for some people.
Yeah. But in fear, though, we'll call him brother, I guess, because we have no name to work with. So we've got a nickname.
That's what, that's what he's listed as. In the cast, he's just the brother.
Sure. He goes into a dive bar, quite on a, you know, quiet, just the alcoholics and a video game maniac are in there, really. Quiet afternoon in a Harlem dive. And he sort of timidly tries to hang out and doesn't know what's going on, so just tries to sit politely and just... I think he's, like, hurt by a bar stool somehow, and then sits down, and then everyone in the bar can just speculate on who's this weird guy who don't talk. Is he homeless, mentally ill, foreign, you know, whatever.
This scene where he goes into the bar and we're introduced to all of the various barflies, this is where I was like, oh, I think I'm going to like this.
I thought we were going to stay in the bar as well, potentially, and it could just be like, I mean, quite a bottle episode, but I thought it was going to be there a long time.
I could have watched the film that stayed in that bar the whole time.
Yeah. The weird sort of Beckettian energy.
The what energy? Beckettian.
Yeah.
Or like Beckett.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Sorry. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, actually, that's probably my. I mean, not to immediately jump to the conclusion, but that's probably my like big takeaway is that like I kind of wish the film was a bit smaller,
because all the drunks have quite weird conversations anyway, right?
Because
it's sort of just about the nature of a bar. And now, if you don't talk in a bar, that's fine. The people in the bar can make enough things up to say anyway.
Well, yeah, and it does a lot of good, like the way it has them all kind of projecting things onto him and how that then brings things about them personally out. Like all of that stuff is really well done, and I like the way it keeps coming back and developing a little bit more every time we go back to the bar.
Yeah, and there, it could have been that thing of you go to a bar and then like you're not buying drinks, you're not making sense, you can get the fuck out. But everyone in the bar doesn't, like the barman or the barman or I guess landlord is like...
I think he's the owner too, yeah.
He's not like one of these pricks, so you have to buy something or whatever, don't make no difference. He's like, so it's like a friendly community, and I guess because he looks like a black guy, they're like just trying to speculate. Oh, he doesn't
speak, there's a solidarity there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, well, where are you from? You could be from here. You could, like, this is sort of suggests he's from, because he points up. They think he's from, like, uptown or something, like, just higher up in New York. So they sort of make fun of him for that, I guess, and speculate. And then there's a few people with perfectly valid theories of which particular place he's from. And then, you know. It's good. I like the characters they introduce. They feel well observed. You know, it doesn't feel necessarily like a white guy has got some wacky plans in mind for the rest of the film yet, you know, does it? Because the director is one of these Men in Black guys, you know?
Yeah.
He's the taller one, right?
I think so.
That is such a weird thing to have done. First, you make this film, and then you put yourself in it in that role.
Oh, I would have done exactly the same thing.
I understand it completely, but just it does take a certain kind of person to take that logical path.
I think it gives him it gets him off the hook for okay, I'm going to do a social story about black people in Harlem,
and I'm going to be one of the villains.
I can chuck it up by being an oddball villain alien who seem to know more than brother knows. They seem to have been there and be a bit savvier.
Well, they're
a bit like weird and can't quite figure out that you're not meant to order like a beer. You don't order beer on the
on rocks.
And be all cocky about it, like we know. We know how to order in a bar, not like this fool who couldn't figure it out. And you thought you wanted to talk about them, Jamie? It was a good opportunity.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to talk about the. I really liked this depiction of the Men in Black because I appreciated that I'm going to immediately set Rich off. I like this realistic version of the Men in Black.
When you say Men in Black, isn't the Men in Black usually this? I'm not set off in it. I'm not annoyed. I just mean, isn't Men in Black usually the Feds who are trying to cover up aliens?
Well, okay, so
because they're aliens that are looking for him from somewhere. They're Men in Black from another planet, right? They're
in real life,
yeah.
encounters that people have reported with supposed Men in Black in big, massive, fat quotation marks.
So funeral directors. And
no, the actual, like, real world, if you want to call it that, stories of people encountering Men in Black, it's not like it is in the Will Smith films or whatever. It's more like the stories that people tell of having encounters with them, they're always extremely odd, almost like they're not people, but they're trying really hard to pretend to be.
Oh, so we're differentiating the Feds, Men in Black, because that's what I think of. It's just people who swarm an area where there's been a UFO or something.
So yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like UFO encounter fucking lore or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The stories that there are about people meeting these Men in Black is that there's the assumption that it's like some kind of, federal organization. But then when people actually like speak to them or encounter them, they're very off and weird, almost like they're not people. And they're like
they're hiding their reptilians or something.
And that's the fact that this film does that kind of Men in Black? I don't know if I've seen that in a film before. The only time I can think of where I've seen it is that one X-Files episode that's one of the best ones, where Jesse Ventura turns up as one of the Men in Black.
Well, he does seem like an alien straight off.
I know.
Like just the clothes he wore when he was a wrestler as well, just like approximating what it was like to dress as a human.
But like, is that... am I thinking gibberish of the right episode? Is that Jose Chung's from Outer Space?
I mean, you're quizzing us on the X-Files back catalogue here.
I can't remember who is like someone who would remember episodes by name. It's one of the best ones, and it tells a story from different, like Rashomon style, tells the same UFO story from different perspectives. I think I'm thinking of the same one. Anyway, there is an X-Files episode that's kind of a spoof of the X-Files itself, where Jesse Ventura turns up as a man in black. And he, like, I was going to say, he acts very alien, by which I mean he acts like Jesse Ventura.
He starts referencing Gorilla Monsoon and siding with all the heels and stuff.
And that's the only other time I can think of in pop culture where I've seen Men in Black depicted like they are in, like, UFO encounter stories, where they're, well, like, really strange.
They sort of did the same thing in the TV show Fringe, if anyone ever saw that.
And I know what
tons
it is.
Of video games as well. Abby, you watched Fringe, though, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Any right? Good? Was it? Did they do?
Yeah, oh, anyway,
I feel like we're a little bit in the woods here with this. This is like, you know, off tangent.
What I'm saying is,
the Men in Black is weird.
This is a more realistic depiction of Men in Black.
Realistic. Now we understand what you mean by that.
Yes.
They're weird and they don't get it. You know,
and apparently they meow like cats.
Like, why is hissing always the go-to with aliens when they out themselves as like aggressive? It's like all the time. It's like in we watching Peacemaker, and all of the aliens in that are like hissing and giving away that they're humans. And in like, you know, what's it? What's the classic one? The one with the is it plants?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Yeah,
yeah, that's like.
But they don't hiss in that. They like scream horribly.
Yeah. Are they all these are Men in Black. There's just two of them, and they have a funny run as well, don't they? Like little arms up like raptors and sort of skip along or something.
One of the earliest scenes with them is where they come into the bar looking for the brother, and I love that they filmed it in reverse and then
and they
played it forward, so they move really unnaturally. That was the moment in the film where they first come into the bar. I was like, okay, I really like this.
I didn't even notice that until the second time watching it, where I'm like, I picked up on like the way the door moved. I'm like, that's a bit odd.
It's really
subtle. Played in, I'm like, that's backwards. And I didn't notice the first time.
Yeah, it did well to, you know, choreograph it right. So With this cool reverse stuff happening to make them seem more peculiar, the main thing they convey to the bar staff when they're looking, I mean, this is a bit later on in the film, after the brother has been in there for a bit and they've made friends and stuff. When they turn up, that's basically, oh, we're immigration and we're fucking after this guy. And everyone is instantly like, oh, well, fuck you then.
Yeah.
If you're the man in immigration, we are instantly on the side of the immigrant. Go away. But they give away stuff because, you know, I think one of the drunk guys basically goes, oh, well, how do we know his name if you don't talk? And they're like, ah, he has been here, Mr. Yeah. Alien Boy.
What's the name of the character who's the social worker?
Good question. I'm not good with many. I don't know many of the characters' names.
Is that Daryl Edwards? Or is that...
In my notes, I just referred to him as Dance Ball. Dance because ball. Of that really weird way he did indoor American football with the
his fake jogging in a dance way when he was playing football indoors with a bar. And then the aliens grab the ball and puncture it in the front of the camera to show their meanie.
He's a social worker and he's the one who helps, like, he puts the brother up with that family.
Let's wind back before Men in Black are involved. We've got like a possibly foreign autistic man who's homeless in a bar full of people who are like, this guy's odd, but leave him alone. And there's a kid or a young guy on a faulty video game machine, right? What game is it? Like something...
Some early 80s piece of shit that was probably impossible to play.
Yeah, this is just at the beginning of the craze of arcade machines. So all of the arcade machines, which feature heavily in this film, are absolute dog piss for how fun they look.
You've got the ace player later on, and she's like, make it harder. And then he does nothing. And her ship just wiggles in the
It just gets very fast and loud.
You're right, Abby. It does smack of people who don't know what video games are and how they work.
To be fair, they barely worked at this point in history.
You wouldn't want them harder. You just want the high score, right? You want it easier, if anything.
No, she wanted the challenge. She was an early From Software fan.
She gives a whole monologue about being living in fast motion when everything else is in slow motion.
She's basically...
She wants to be in slow motion for once.
It's very highbrow the way you put it, Anthony. To me, it was just like, oh, yeah.
Literally her words.
No, you're right. I remember her saying... It was highfalutin when she said it, but, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, some fucking edgelord Twitch streamer bitch. Fucking good at too good at video games, if anything.
This was me discovering Souls games in the last few years.
What you say? You wanted the game to be harder and... You wore a jacket that said Ace on the back?
I'm wearing it right now.
Are you going to brag to other nerds, I guess, online now? And
like, yeah, I finished Elden Ring. I finished Sekiro.
What are you doing? You're just selling your weird gamer girl bathwater, you stupid idiots. Go sell crypto on Twitch, loser. I'm a fucking real player. Whatever. Anyway, back when video games were shit, I mean really shit... Like, sub your mum's phone games.
I'm sorry for any arcade game enthusiasts listening, but...
Not sorry. Grow up. Get over it. Asteroids is shit. I don't care how important it is to the history of video games. I ain't playing it. It's boring and shit, and I can't win, so I don't want to... I want easy, cool games where you can steal hats off of cowboys and you look at horses' balls for hours on end. That's my video game.
They shrink when it gets cold.
That's what I want. There's no shrinking balls in Asteroids.
I want a game where when a character stands against a bright light, you can see it through their earlobe. That's proper gaming.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the point, though. There's a guy playing a video game and it's faulty, and we have this wonderful alien power called I can put my hand near electronics and make them work again. Don't think about it. I'm probably just realigning the electrons or something.
He's got Jesus hands.
Jesus how? But he's got Judas's feet.
I see more than he just I guess more than he just has Satan's feet.
Satan's feet, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, so yeah, Jesus, electronic Jesus powers, power number one. So he can heal stuff, and he's an electronics whiz, and I guess that's because spacemen have advanced technology, and it's not like us, or whatever, yeah. What does E.T. do with his glowing finger? He can make things fly, right?
Ugh, don't ask.
Well,
I think he heals things as well.
This is like a less upsetting E.T.
He can make Elliot go up an octave if he's really good at it. Less upsetting E.T. It is. In that he's a black man and therefore palatable to us instead of a disgusting...
He's not a weird screaming ball sack creature.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not talk about E.T. Let's talk about this. This guy, when he's so like a social worker guy who is seemingly less of a drunk than the rest of them, comes to the bar and is like, "Oh yeah, this weird, possibly foreign guy might need some. He's got two different shoes on and looks scared and homeless. Maybe we should do something." And so luckily, he's connected to the world of social care, right? So he can put. The idea is he starts asking him sensible questions like, "Can you understand me?" And they get the gist, which is you can't talk, but you can understand. Basic sign language will be fine. Come with me is the gist of that interaction, yeah. Isn't it? But while that's happening, the guy who's annoyed with the arcade machine draws the attention of the brother, and then he sort of scooches and hides next to it and fixes it on the sly. And then they're like, "He's talented. We like him now. He has the talent of fixing things, so he is valuable."
That leads him to the first, because the social worker guy tries to give it, like, tries to put him in various jobs. And isn't that what leads to the first or the main one, which is the arcade repair?
Yeah, if you can fix arcade machines, why wouldn't you go work in an arcade and fix arcade machines and pinball machines and things, isn't it? And he fits in perfectly, right? Like, he gets to meet some local colour. Like, there's a slightly racist...
The Italian guy.
Is he Italian? I'm not sure what the...
He's Italian-American. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Isn't he Mexican?
The Mexican guy is the guy who works under the guy who runs the place.
That's it. Isn't there an Italian-American... Oh, God.
I think there's a guy... so. And it's weird give-and-take racism, where it's like...
Yes.
It's like... Oh, there's a good thing about them, but here's a bad thing about them.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that, does that rub it out? There's like neutralize
no,
it?
No, I mean, that's a, no. I feel like that's, I mean, we probably all know from growing up in Wales, because we know like older people who would say very similar things, where it's like, trying to not be racist, but at the same time they also say something very, very racist. It's that.
But
like...
the thing with racism, like that casual, like, "Oh, people of this race are like this." Like, I think the guy says, "Oh, you know, Hispanic people, they're hardworking, but they bad with the time and
stuff."
And it's like, I never know any racists who go, "Yeah, oh, you know, traveler people are going to use like." I'm going to slag them off for like camping somewhere. They never then go, but you know, tinkers, they're really good at fixing a clock radio. They never add in something positive racist.
I've known people who have done
it with my money. That kind of thing.
I've like, definitely that, known older people who've said stuff like, I definitely heard that Mexican thing about how,
hardworking.
Oh, they, yeah, well, hard work. It's like, well, you're still. I know you're trying to be nice, but you're also kind of, you're still being racist.
Yeah, it's the give and the take. It does happen. You're right. I just usually people launch in with just the racism.
But then there's also when the men in black turn up here, they have his back and they don't. You know, they immediately turn on the men in black and don't turn him in.
Well, not so much the guy in the arcade place. We get, like, so there's the Latino guy, anyway, or Hispanic, or, like, you know, he introduces himself and jabbers at him and speculates on where he's from and gets on with him because he doesn't talk and he can just, you know, go, "Oh, here's the room full of broken machines. Cool, you haven't got much to say, I'll just talk then." And he basically says the boss is a dickhead, so watch out for him. I think he calls his thing more imaginative than that, but...
More colourful.
Yeah, there's a bit of a funny, oh, he's a fucking knob-dragging knucklehead or something. And we get the sense that there's this... Yeah, we get shown there's this whiz girl at video games who's supposedly ruining all the machines by, I guess, pressing the button a lot fast and stuff. I don't know. She's a real pinball wizard, or it's arcade. They do have pinball, but I don't know. She plays out video games. It don't matter. The point is, we get this little world that we don't come back to very much. It's just there to go, wow, he miraculously fixed all of the video games. I thought they were going to go for some kind of, and now that it's good, we'll pay him for one day, they're all fixed, and he has, you know, if you're going to live in America, you've got to make the job last longer.
You've got to really draw it out for as long as you can.
You've got to try and fix these, like, one a week at best. otherwise, it's one paycheck and you're done. And you know, but then he's also in like an electronic shop fixing fans and radios. Like every one of them, he turns on and gets working.
That's later after he trips balls.
Abby, am I right in thinking you were kind of annoyed by him fixing all of the fans in one guy's?
It wasn't clear that he'd fixed them all when he started to. Not, I thought he was just turning on every single thing in a shop like an absolute bastard.
That's also what I initially thought he was doing as well.
Trying them on without buying one.
We also find out that he can heal other people too, because we're introduced to the home that he lives in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's not just given a job. He's taken to a nice white lady who has a black child, and
the dad's run off.
Yeah,
and the kid has a scrape on his knee, and he puts his hand on it and heals it.
Then he fixes the TV for them as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Unbeknownst to anyone but the kid, because the kid's quiet as well. So the mum has basically got a mostly mute kid. And now a mute man who she has given clothes to from her ex.
It's really...
And it's just like two quiet black people in my house.
It's really bleak to think that, like, you're looking at any situation now where a woman takes an adult man into her home and she has a child. I'm fucking alarm bells ringing in my head. And well,
this film didn't worry about that.
No, really. There's absolutely nothing in this film that would suggest anything like that. I'm just saying, like, because of the world we live in the 21st century and all the revelations that have come out about largely famous men. It's like, my brain's just poisoned by all of that now.
Yeah, these days, it's PC gone mad, isn't it? You used to be able to leave your alien mute man who you've just taken into your house with your child, and he uses his weird Jesus electronic powers on him, and, you know, and you can't even force feed them pork or lamb anymore, can you? You want him to, like, make sure he has.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you like pork?
God, back in the day, you like pork. You could send your kids off with Michael Jackson and assume everything was fine.
Yeah, and you know, if he got molested, so what? It's some technique you can use on girls later in life, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ!
It's all lessons. But none of that came up. It was all innocent, and it didn't turn into a, oh dear.
Yeah, no.
It was just they made friends. Was it Earl or Errol or something? The kid.
Earl, yeah.
Yeah.
And they get on because kids always get on with aliens for some reason. They're innocent, and plus, you know, anyone who you meet who could do magic tricks is great, isn't it? They heal you.
Oh, speaking of, did anyone spot Fisher Stevens?
How did you not spot him?
I was so irritated the moment he arrived.
And not in the usual way. He's usually irritating, whether it's blacking up or just being his own personality. But Abby, what did he do in this film that made you annoyed?
Well, first of all, he showed up in that t-shirt waistcoat and hat. That was strike one.
A t-shirt and a waistcoat.
Then he spoke to someone on the subway. That's strike two.
Just speaking, not even doing a whole thing. Go on.
And then he was doing not even a card trick, a card story. Oh. Strike three. I was to get out. Bin. No.
And then the smug, and then not wanting any money for it, and then being like making a smug joke about everyone getting off at the next stop, all the white people will disappear. And you go, what would that? And it was also such an irritating, like, if you're going to learn a card trick, your card trick is rabbiting my ear off about a shit annoying story. that reveals what card you're going to turn over next. I'm not going to wait till the end before I slap the cards out of your hand and go, oh, it's time for 54 fucking card pickup, you useless prick.
I just wasn't expecting to tick off one of my bingo card entries on this film.
Fisher Stevens, not
Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, well, we don't do connections for Mario Brothers, do we?
I do.
He always will. Let him be.
David Lynch, the world of David Lynch, and The Exorcist. You bring up Mario. There's no. Otherwise, we'd be like, oh, Bob Hoskins. That's another connection. You know what I mean? Like,
Rich,
all day.
Rich.
Yeah.
Somehow we have managed to avoid being put into a psychiatric hospital together. JB just rocks back and forth in the corner talking about Twin Peaks and The Exorcist. You're stealing everyone's hats and pretending that you're riding a horse through the building.
Yeah, in Red Dead Redemption 2, in my own time. I don't make it about the podcast. What's the segment of the podcast? What is that point? Fisher Stevens is in Mario Brothers. The original Super Mario Brothers.
I have to bring
talk
it up.
About, you talk,
why,
about,
for why?
Red Dead, you talk about Red Dead Redemption often because you're almost always playing it.
Video games come up in this episode and I'm playing it this week. That's all.
We're in an era now where there is another Mario Brothers movie and I have to defend the honor of the original.
You're defending the honor by bringing up an irritating character in this film.
Yes! They're all irritating characters.
They are all irritating. She's got a point there.
What's the point of that, though?
Well, I'm going to say it was one of my favourite Fisher Stevens cameos, based solely on his reaction to the brother not cutting the cards.
Oh yeah, I'll cut them for you.
And he was meant to be a nominee.
The way the brother reacts in this whole scene is me watching someone do a card trick, because I don't care and I don't want to engage. I don't want to be involved. And usually when someone's doing a card trick, they're going to force you to be involved in the whole fucking thing. And I hate it.
I assume if I'm not on camera and having to sign a sheet so I get paid or something, I fucking fuck right off.
Yeah.
Just is there a magician that isn't annoying though? Like,
no.
Like, is it literally anyone? Like, I can't think. Penn and Teller are annoying in a kind of smug libertarian way. And they're the most enjoyable ones.
Magicians and ventriloquists.
Oh, I like some ventriloquists.
No, fuck off.
No, but the ones he likes are comedians that are actually funny.
Nina Conti's great.
She's mental. She's terrifying.
Yeah, that's
I'd
great.
Be scared to be
I like David Lynch, but I can't handle a ventriloquist.
Yeah. Scary to me than a fucking ventriloquist.
I won't have a bad thing said about Nina Conti. She helped me out with a very tricky bit of postage email back and forth on DVDs, so I'm very happy with her as a comedian.
Yeah, but I bet if you lived with her, you'd end up dead, and you'd be one of the skin and bone ventriloquist dummies that she keeps in the basement.
As far as I know, psychotic. As far as I know, she is married and has children and is psychologically good enough. I'm not a psychiatrist and I don't know her, but
psychologically good enough is how I describe myself.
Yeah, we're back on track. That was the Fisher Stevens is a Bell End magician section of the show and the film. So, what was that for? It was just, there's so many vignettes, isn't it? There's lots of just ideas we want to put in, but have no rhyme or reason.
This is kind of my problem with the film. Like,
it meanders around.
Yeah, I generally enjoyed it, probably a lot more than I was expecting. But the issue I had with it was just sort of too long and generally kind of unfocused. Like, I like what they're going for with the idea of him just sort of experiencing different things. And I like the sort of almost, that vignette kind of setup. But it just, there were places where it was just sort of dragging. And I was like, all right, come on. Like, just get, and like when it's good, it's really good and interesting and entertaining. And a lot of it is Joe Morton as well. He's really, really good in this. What is like, as seen with like being there and similar stuff as well, like Twin Peaks with Cal McLaughlin. But it's very difficult to play a character who can't really speak and is like having to express or communicate in other ways.
He really gets across the innocence. He makes him likable without being irritating, and...
but also innocent without coming across as like stupid. Like he seems very. He comes across as very intelligent and aware. He just can't communicate properly.
He's like thoughtful and vaguely has an emotional angle because he's basically a do-gooder, but he's still a vulnerable person, not alien. Anthony, what do you make of Jamie's point here that it loses a bit of steam for having too many like different disparate bits or whatever?
Yeah, I agree that it does lose steam towards the end. Like I think the kind of the drug plot Aspect. Line is the most through line, other than the Men in Black kind of thing, and that kind of loses me after a while. But I did enjoy like the style of it, how it's just it goes from one vignette to the next vignette, and it's not it's about all the people, not necessarily the brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Just a portrait of people of Harlem and things. The drug thing, we tackle that before dealing with the, I guess, club singer. I think that's a significant one. So there's some teens that are up to no good generally, and they're like muggers, and they mug him or something, do they? Or someone in it?
Yeah, like finally finds one of them dead and immediately decides to do heroin.
Yeah, that was not. I was not expecting that.
Yeah,
well, that's the cat before the horse. There, what happens first?
We see them first, just like outside the building that he's staying in, making fun of his trousers. And then they rob him a few nights later, and then he finds them in like the street. One of them is running away, leaving the other one dead, I assume, of a heroin or crack overdose.
Yeah, because he's got a needle stuck in his arm, which...
But the way in which the guy deals with this, that's bad. I mean, it's bad. They're annoying. It is horrible they mug me, but it's sad that someone's died.
Well, I thought, and again, this is a sort of testament to Joe Morton's performance in this film. I really liked his sort of confused but not necessarily like upset or angry response to being mugged by them. Like he just does not understand what they're doing or why.
Yeah, exactly.
And just kind of lets them do it because he's like, okay, it's okay.
I was given clothes and now things are being taken from me.
Yeah.
And so, but his conclusion of, okay, I'm an alien, what's this? It's in his arm, he's dead. I'll pop it in me, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, you've got healing powers, can you bring him back from the dead? Nah, I can just trip balls. And go on a weird, like, there's a Rastafari guy talking to him, and he's talking to prostitutes and looking at graffiti, and just the colours change, and the steel drums kick in. And, oh no, I don't think they kick in at this stage. Go on,
I was going to say, like, the first time I watched the film, I didn't like this bit where he was, like, on drugs, and then this Jamaican kind of philosopher poet guide walks him through, and then a weird contemporary dance bit with the guy. Yes. Yeah. Like, the first time I watched it, I was like, this is really that out was... of place. But the second I watched it again, I'm like, I think it's one of my favourite bits, actually.
Oh, yeah.
This whole scene.
What do you think it's trying to do then?
Well, I don't know. It's just it's its own little vignette, and it is a little different. But it felt, I don't know why the change. I don't know why the first time I didn't like it.
And the second I think it's because it doesn't fit with what we've set up so far. It's kind of a bit more artsy and out there.
I think,
and we've been having fairly reality based story drama.
That's true. It does take a turn for the avant-garde slightly.
I think it's, if we were talking about you know, the film is obviously, it sort of goes back and forth in terms of structure. Like sometimes it feels like it's a little bit more of a traditional structure in the way the story plays out, but then there are other moments, there are other like sections of the film where it has that more like vignette type of feel, where it's like, now he's doing this, now he's doing this, now he's doing this, without necessarily the flow from
one to
the other.
We don't know how much time is passing. Like, has he been there days,
and I think,
weeks?
And I can see why you would maybe like this or appreciate this more on a second viewing, when you know it's coming, because as a standalone vignette of demonstrating one out-of-place person's experience with various things that happen in somewhere like Harlem, especially at the time, it does make a little bit more sense. And the way it's done is, like, interesting and very, like, a little bit more abstract, which is because, he's high.
And an alien.
Yeah.
So nothing makes sense to him anyway.
But, like, taken as a standalone vignette in that, like, idea of the film being structured in that way, it does work better, and I can see why you would like it more on a second viewing. But the first time, when you are trying to sort of follow the thread a little bit more because you don't necessarily know what's going to happen next, it's kind of just frustrating and tedious, because you're like, what? Like, I want to get back to the, like, where is this going? Especially, again, because the film is a little bit too long for what it is.
And
it drags it out a little bit more.
You're sort of thinking, okay, we're going to have the nice alien is going to do something about the drug problem.
And he does.
He gets back
weird.
To it. But it's just weird to take a detour of what's it like to be on drugs. Like, it's I won't help the child or get a... I don't know, he doesn't fully understand the world, so he doesn't do the... You'd expect an alien to, like, do the healing thing of a dead child.
Yeah.
Or at least, do some alien ritual about death, but it's like, nah, side quest, weird trip balls for a bit. And then he gets back to it, and the way he's like, I'll observe these teenagers after I've thrown a basketball straight into a hoop, is I'll pop my eye out, because we have a new power. Pop my little eyeball out and on a little stem hand thing, pop it in a fucking pot plant or something on the street. I can't actually remember what he puts it in.
It's a
pot plant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll leave that there, and that can record some footage of, I guess, the kids that are coming and going. And we get to the bottom of who
was.
I was eating a tuna wrap when he did that. And it really turned me off.
I love that, just a little really long shot of the eye just kind of like moving slightly
in this
and looking around.
Fucking pink fleshy goo that it's. They didn't need to go quite so fucking hard.
He does a lovely job of acting when he pops the eye back in later. He does a good job of taking his time and hiding. Like, he's obviously holding a little ball eye, and he palms it and then tries a few times to pop it in. Also, the fact that when he's not got his eye in, he puts a really odd black eye patch on that just has not attached to anything, just velcroed to his face or something. Abby, what do you make of this cool power? Did this float your boat eyeball cam?
Hang on. I can almost pinpoint exactly when this turns to shit for me. It is when he suddenly just starts staring at posters of women.
Okay,
everything after that is ball bags.
So
I've got something that I'm going to disagree with coming up. So,
I think that's a separate issue. The eyeball thing is more to do with finding the white guy who runs a business in a skyscraper.
I mean,
it was stupid. It was unprecedented, and it doesn't make sense.
It's one of those.
Yeah, it doesn't really need
arbitrary,
to be there.
It's also an arbitrary alien thing that. Oh, so the other thing is, so in combination, so this just ends up him finding out he tries to get into this guy, the businessman's office, and he can't get past the receptionist initially, and then he later on storms in and confronts him with what's he do with the eyeball? He sort of touches
he
him
let
and shows
him, him. He let him experience, I think, the that like bleak kind of sadness of the fact that there's kids ODing because of the drugs he's making money off. And I get why, like, this whole scene is, obviously this was and is a problem with a lot of communities that have issues with
right.
like drugs is like a lot of the time the money is going to much wealthier people who are just exploiting poorer communities.
Yeah, of
and
course,
I see
yeah.
why they put that in here. I see why that is made, like, that's an idea that's contained within this story. But in the actual film as it is, it's just sort of jarring, and it's like, well, it's one or the other. Like,
yeah, all right, Regan, let's get back on point with the alien in a foreign country business and not get on this weird war on drugs.
It's not the war on drug thing, because it's not the war on drugs thing, because the war on drugs thing is like, oh, look at all these poor black people dealing drugs. They're all thugs or whatever. It's like, no,
yes,
it's rich white people feeding it into the community and making money off it is the point. So
it's not the same approach to the subject. No.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like a PSA about drugs are bad. And but there's this, it takes
it just
an
doesn't
alien
quite
with
fit.
A, it takes an alien with a weird eyeball to manipulate a guy to have empathy for poor people who are overdosing.
I mean, we are in 2023. I think we all understand at this point that someone who's very rich and white would need an alien to demonstrate empathy.
They all are aliens who need empathy, and they've all decompartmentalized, you know, their connection to tragedy easily out of the system. Sure, but like it's okay, very it's a very good thing to try and do with a movie, I guess, but it does feel,
it just doesn't fit.
We're lost here, because, and it's also, we've got these extra fucking powers. These are not relevant to, like, earlier on where he can't communicate, he can't just do empathy powers to get people to understand stuff.
Yeah, again, that's what I mean, like,
I guess they know he's an alien from outer space, and rather than just a weird foreigner, they'd be treating him differently, I guess. Can't just pop your eyeball out if you're an immigrant and be like, just understand me, please. They kind of don't question the fact that he doesn't seem to genuinely fiddle with the machines. We don't know how arcade machines are fixed, so I guess you could just touch them.
I think
them.
The people in the bar kind of suspect.
No, they're like, he's talented, that boy.
No, because at one point they have a discussion with him, and when he points up, they realize he means not uptown, he means like up, like,
I don't know.
It's later.
They don't know
the
anything for certain, but they sort of start to creep in with them a bit.
And one of them, the older guy too, is very into like conspiracies about aliens and stuff. Like, he's talking about that.
One annoying thing the film keeps doing is people keep using turns of phrase about other planets and aliens and fire. It's like, come on, guys. Stop saying things that are absolutely relevant, but you don't realize this. It did my head in every time they were like, just use a turn of phrase that was really suspectly on point. Ugh. No thanks. Abby, you mentioned the thing that annoyed you was him
getting horny.
Getting horny for a regular woman. Like, he sees a poster, what was it?
But that's the thing. Well, it's not so much the principle of what they did, it's just they kept doing the dumb option. It's like, he's seen her poster everywhere. He would take that poster. He wouldn't see her poster everywhere, go into a record store, buy a record, specifically throw away the record.
Oh, disagree. I liked him throwing away the record. I thought that was funny, because he just doesn't know what it is.
He couldn't figure out buying pairs earlier. He's at least purchased something properly. So you're saying it's stupid that you don't like the fact that he's just obsessing over a picture of this attractive pop star or whatever she is.
It just happens suddenly.
Sometimes he understands something. Sometimes he understands things, and sometimes he doesn't understand things based on whatever joke they want to do at the time.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It does feel like they're going, well, what works for what we want to do?
Yeah.
Let's do that, rather than a well thought out character.
Again, it's part of that more split up nature of the things he does,
yeah.
Like, and it's where the film sort of struggles to balance sometimes whether it's telling a consistent story or whether it's just showing you almost like sketches.
Yeah, like, so this bit is kind of the guy goes and sees her perform in like a bar as a singer, and then
she used to be part of a big popular group,
yeah,
but they've all gone their separate ways, and she has a pervy club owner who is,
yeah. How does the brother end up chatting her up without speaking and getting back to her place?
So She wants to avoid getting in a conversation with the owner because she knows he's after
A
her,
dickhead,
like
yeah.
chasing her. Not after, you know what I mean? He wants to shag her.
Yeah.
And she's not interested. So she goes and like sits with the brother and is like, can you pretend to be, you know, like with me? And that's when she realizes he can't talk. But he can at this point like sign reasonably well. Like to
He's
the
a bit
like
more
enough.
sociably
Yeah.
handy here.
And he has two beers and he gives her both of them. He's infatuated with this singer. He finds out that she's performing at a club. She used to be part of a group, and now they've all gone their separate ways. So she's ended up singing here, kind of slumming it. The
Yeah.
club owner is kind of lecherous and is chasing her. She's not interested. So she sits with the brother and tries to like, she's basically like, can you pretend we're on a date or whatever, just to get him off my back? Discovers that he can't talk, but she's sort of charmed by him, because it's Joe Morton being charming and quiet,
Yeah, I
and
guess that's enough.
sure, but well, and it's also that like he is listening to her and responding, like, you know, I get the impression that she's probably been treated badly by a lot of men.
Sure.
I'm trying to remember what it reminds me of. It might be Data from Star Trek, but that thing of you basically someone else being a blank slate
Yeah.
so that you can just let out whatever you need to let out and they will be whatever it is you need them to
Yeah.
be for
It's like
you.
a soundboard or not a soundboard, but a never mind, Karen.
It's like, is it Shirley MacLaine in Being There?
Yeah, I mean it's very being there. I mean, in this film makes does it a few times where
Yeah.
people project what they want onto him,
But
use him as therapy.
instead of having a wank in front of him while he's watching TV,
Okay.
which is what happens in Being There. I
Yeah,
don't know if
yeah, yeah.
everyone remembers, but she. So this is the bit that I liked
Well,
is
because this is a black alien, so of course the black alien gets laid. Like, and if online sex toys have taught us anything, it's that ladies love alien penises up them. So
I thought it was dragon penises.
you shop on what website, Jimmy? Because it's a different one to me.
So what I liked about this scene, and I feel like this film came out in 1984, and I feel like this is something that was rare then and it's rare now, is it cuts to them being in, I guess, her either apartment or hotel, and she is like, she's,
She de-wigs like
yeah,
black
she
women
takes
often
her,
do.
so, but she's taking a wig, like, it's a very, like, not raw, and that is not necessarily the right word, but like it's a very grounded portrayal of this woman like de-glamorizing herself before she has sex with this guy.
She also doesn't want it to be about like, a fucking a fan. She wants it
Yes,
to be normal
and
people.
yeah, because she, yeah, that's the other thing. She's like, don't think of me as this, like, think of me as like me, the person you've been talking to all evening.
You're clearly a fan who's obsessed with me because of how this has
Well,
happened.
okay, yeah, there's baggage there. Don't worry about that for right now, because the
Yeah.
thing that I like is, so she's the one who initiates. She talks in this scene about her and the other girls that she was in the group with and how they used to sleep around when they were like on tour and stuff. She does sleep with him, and then the next day she gets up and is like, right, I'm off. I don't know when the next time I'll be back will be, but hey, this was cool. Are you all right? Yeah, thumbs up.
Your
The
toes
end.
cut my shins to ribbons.
She
That's fucked
does
up.
complain about his feet, justifiably. But what I really surprised me about this, and like I said, it was rare then, and I feel like it's rare now, is how positive this was about a female character's like sexuality in any way. The fact that she initiated it. There was no like weird, oh, what a slapper baggage or anything like that. There was no like overly emotional, like her getting attached to him or any of the, like none of that. It was just treated as this really casual, friendly one night stand. That was cool. I'll maybe see you again running back in town. Bye. No, nothing bad happened.
I can think of one weird thing. A woman had sex with an alien.
I mean,
that's
yeah.
what fucking happened. It's just a really yes. normal thing that it's treating women normally. Modern woman, it's not.
Yeah, but that's what I'm. What I'm saying is, seeing that in a film, and the fact that I'm watching a film that was like over 30 years old, and still being like, well, that was impressively like. Even-handed and kind of normal, because that is not how films treat women's like sexuality when it comes to like casual sex at all, like or at least very rarely.
I also would have expected some kind of Roy Chubby Brown level joke about, whoa, you've got a big alien dick. I'm okay with that. I love this, big alien dicks.
Like
some tentacle coming out and doing something else. You know.
In the weirdest and most unexpected way and place, I've never seen as positive a representation of a woman having casual sex as this.
Sure.
I agree. Right. And it hadn't really occurred to me until you said it.
I was shocked. I still am. I'm still processing it. Because you don't see that in films now. Like she is in no way persecuted or judged by the film at all. And she's gone after this.
But the thing, I think your gripe, Abby, stems from he is just an alien moron in fantasizing about the pretty lady, even though it's a different species to him. From his perspective, he's doing a wrong. He's good at it somehow, inexplicably. It's not like pleasing women is that difficult a thing to do. There's a lot of jokes and mileage of men being absolutely useless in bed, but you know, an alien could pick up the general idea. It's just this guy,
he's very good at doing what he's told.
That's true, yeah. And also he's very good with his hands. I think she does say that,
yeah, he's good.
Which obviously he has magic powers in his hands.
Women like a listener, and they like someone who takes, you know, takes foreplay seriously, and it doesn't hurt if they're a well-endowed alien black guy. Anyway, we move on from this, as you say. I guess that's the positive to take away, is it's not getting bogged down in, I don't know, assumptions about the sex lives of women and aliens.
Again, the what I was expecting from this film and what it presented, wildly different.
Sure. Maybe you need to take a think about yourself and what you expect from movies.
I'm just used to watching films, and if a woman has casual sex with a man, she's probably going to be pregnant, vilified, or murdered at some point.
I'm just projecting your own. I see a woman have a sex scene in the film, and I think this will go one way, and it'll be respectful, as that's the kind of the... No, you're right, films are always awful, aren't they? Like, I honestly can't think of a film where a sex scene with a woman is like fundamentally doesn't say something about the characters in a stereotypical or negative way, or play with your expectations. And you just go, it is a sad world, isn't it? We come preloaded with expectations of you know, like you said, you articulated it. You expect there to be something more complicated, some slut shaming, some more. I guess the thing, from a movie perspective, there's no conflict in him having his way with some woman that he wanted to have sex with the lady in the picture. He achieved it by doing nothing.
That again, though, he isn't the one who initiates it either. She is.
Yeah. Good. but I think the lesson to learn is shut up and women will sleep with you in Sally. don't get aggressive with people online. Just be available and a vulnerable woman will eventually pluck you up. Anyway, what else happens in this wacky film? We get to like the Men in Black coming back and confronting him, don't we?
Yeah, this is where they start meowing and doing their little run with their little T-Rex arms held up in front of them.
Yeah,
but we also
they try and go to the welfare place and deal with like one of the office workers, and she's gives them a bunch of forms and dislikes them on site for being, like, you know, immigration dickheads.
Yeah, I really liked them being roadblocked by bureaucracy.
I like that. I forgot about that. I applaud what she did. I didn't get to do it to like Men in Black style people, but I have done that myself, where it's like, oh, you do you? You need to do this.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. I like, generally, across the board, humanity is presented in Harlem anyway as being, yeah, everyone hates the man. And if you're an immigration officer, you can absolutely fuck yourself. Like, across the every human in this is like, oh, immigration people, fastidious pencil pushers. And it's basically the argument from the woman who is looking after, him, the brother, for a bit in her house, is like, you know, she puts up with them coming in. They're in her house playing with, like, a weird, it's got an eyeball wind-up toy in the house. I think that's just the kids. And they're sitting in her house, and they're like, oh, ma'am, we're from some sort of immigration. We're not going to get into it, so you can infer that we're human immigration. And she's like, oh, yeah, you could look for him, but I'm not his keeper. I don't know. Like, she doesn't help them, but she doesn't, like, do anything to just get herself in trouble. But, like, everyone is like, fuck these guys. Yeah. Like, they're weird, and we instantly assume everything about pencil pushers who don't care about kids dying and of drugs overdoses. Or
they also...
Everyone who's from a foreign place has to go away, otherwise...
They go to the bar, and we get an incredible fight scene with them.
Yeah, a really wacky comedy. Everyone's taking a turn. Like, we left the bar and had a bunch of vignettes, and it's actually the bar people are fun, and they all have a different approach to fighting, don't they? They all take turns.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. Like, they're all doing this sort of dance move synchronized fight, except for the two old men who go, it's time. And then they just bend over so that someone else can jump.
Have they done this before?
They were going into like a rugby tackle or like a American football tackle mode, I think.
Yeah, it's a football thing, because we see them playing football in the bar earlier, kind of.
Yeah, and then like, is it the bartender and the office guy are like punching the aliens directly in the face?
Yeah,
and they're not reacting or whatever, and then they get sort of awkwardly dispatched. And then there's like breaking. Oh, they get a baseball bat involved, don't they? And they're like, the aliens are cockily, like, disarming them. Yeah. They get back, disarming them again, they're breaking it. And I think the brother throws and breaks pool cues and throws pool balls at them as well.
Yeah. Can you imagine someone throwing pool balls at you? That would be horrible.
I was like, ooh.
The way Abby plays pool, I've had the pool balls fly at
me. Hey!
Hey, we played air hockey today. You nearly had my eye out.
Oh, I don't play it. I'm scared. I have my fingers off.
Coward.
Anyway. So, Anthony, do you like all this wacky, like, the people in the bar are all comedy fighters all of a sudden?
It was a little weird, but still fun, you know?
We needed some levity, I think. That's fine, isn't it?
It made sense. It's like, this is the point where his friends and the community are going to stand up for him, whereas the establishment, I suppose, aren't going to. But then it is kind of funny that they're just brushed aside so easily.
Yeah, it's a little bit, this is too goofy, but I guess the whole film is quite silly anyway. But the tone of the film is like... you know, about morality and an allegory for the immigrant experience in America.
This is definitely the broadest it gets.
Yes. But it's wacky throughout. It's got comedy throughout, but it also has this weird getting bogged down in showing you the allegory this is. I don't know. The brother runs away. And there's been this thing where, I don't know, he's been sensing something, like in graffiti, or there's points in the city that he's been sensing. And they don't really sow enough seeds about this, but they basically reveal that there are other human-like aliens, other black people or foreigners who live in Harlem that are also from outer space, presumably from his planet or something.
I think there is a... effectively an immigrant community from
hiding
the same
Earth.
Planet as him. Yeah, hiding on Earth and protecting each other. So
opportunity,
that's...
opportunity for prequels, a clock. Other brothers from other planets could be throughout this. Like the telling the story of the Italian-American alien who came and, I don't know, got into fun scrapes in a bakery or something. I don't know what we'd you just all of these aliens have presumably figured out how to pass as humans and are gonna meet, they're gonna all turn up and just scare off and chase off the Men in Black aliens, is it?
They make them kill themselves.
It's, yeah, they,
that's
they,
what it
they,
seems they, like, yeah.
It is, they just they disintegrate.
They chase them without, you know, all of these like different uniformed people or different pedestrians, and they...
well, yeah, they're all if I'm remembering it right, they all work like
menial,
not menial, but like hard, really difficult jobs that people don't want to do, much like immigrants do.
If anything, our main alien is taking the easy route of just magically fixing
arcade machines. Yeah,
all these idiots have got, presumed, or maybe they're doing some sort of alien Jesus tricks in there, like, you know, the chef one or the I don't know. They don't, I don't know. We don't know what job they have, but like, you know, professional businesswoman might be doing some sly, I don't know, turning water into wine shit, you know, to get ahead. I don't know. They'll take inspiration from our Lord and Savior. It's fun. That's one of the miracles Jesus did, wasn't it? Fixing arcade machines, I seem to recall.
Yes.
My Bible study is a bit rusty, but he did that, I think. You've got to put your arcade machines on the other side of the boat and catch all the fish or something like that. Anyway, what am I saying? The aliens, so they chase our dudes, tall black man in black and slightly smaller man in black who have been dickheads this whole time. And they hold, touch fingers and make a sign at their chest and then... teleport, come disintegrate into...
No, they don't. They don't teleport. They kill themselves. Like, they basically self-destruct because they're like, "Oh, we're fucked," because they've been cornered, and they'd rather kill themselves than be killed by.
Is that that's how we're interpreting it? Is it?
That's what it is. That's what happens.
Well, they also do is they all point down. We've established that thumbs up means I'm from outer space, and thumbs down to humans would infer gone to hell, but. Does that mean gone to underneath space?
So,
what are we saying?
No,
gone to the
think,
sea.
So
Atlantis?
This was the I found the ending a little bit. I wasn't positive what was supposed to have happened, but I think the idea is they're basically telling him, like, if you're going to stay here and hide, you are going to have to like effectively live like. Underground, not necessarily literally underground,
fucking
but
hell.
Like
you're
they all
taking
are.
All of this from thumbs down. The bad guys are gone.
You're gonna
Anyone
have
else?
To.
Abby, are you like thumbs down meant you're gonna have to fit in with society? And
no, it's not about fitting in. You're gonna have to like keep your head down and live quote unquote
quietly.
Underground with the rest of us.
So you don't get found out by other bounty hunters or whatever they are. Abby, are you having this as usual?
Something like that. Yeah, it's like, it's, are we going back to space? Nah, going to the subway, mate.
We're staying here. One of the things I guess we missed off is there's a couple of white dudes who go missing or get lost in Harlem and are going to some boring business meeting.
Yeah, again, another scene that I really, really liked where they get drunk and try and relate to black people.
They're like comedy doofuses from out of town white guys.
Yeah.
Who, awkwardly, yeah, like you say, they go to a bar and try and fit in and again project onto the guy they're sitting next to who's not talking and get drunk and talk a lot of shit like everyone in the bar does anyway.
But they're doing that very, maybe telling on myself, like they're doing that very, you know, liberal white guy gets drunk and tries to talk about how racism is all bullshit. We're all just people, you know, if like we can all get along and that, you know, just like getting drunk
I
and
think,
being too
yeah,
like
I think if a black woman wants to have sex with a guy, that's fine. You can just... I think it's good. I'm not saying it's a woman should be on a fucking alien and have a one night stand. We need more of that representation, guys, don't we? And they're like, yeah, we all already think that. That's true. But yeah, they make, you know, it's a bit of a comedy bit about lame white guys out in Harlem. And they but get, again, they endear themselves enough to the Bahaman that he's like, okay, guys, you want to go this way, down that block, and get on the fucking A train to non-getting mugged by black people town. Or whatever. He's first, it's dangerous but for it's these like, guys.
Again, a different film. It would have been like, oh no, what's going to happen to these guys in Harlem? But it's like, no, it's actually just, it kind of treated in a fairly grounded, humorous way.
In no way does it come up, like, they don't realise they've met an alien. The alien thing isn't relevant to their story.
No.
They're aliens in Harlem, in a sense, but have drunk their way, they've sort of fucked off the business meeting and just got drunk and have been kindly told where to go to get back to where they should be, uptown or Manhattan or who knows where, wherever white people go in New York. But anyway, like, that is to set up the idea that you've got to get on the A train to get out of Harlem safe, right? And then so when our guy, the alien, goes, we see the last shot we get is him leaving on the A train out of Harlem to suggest his chapter on Earth here in this community is done. That's what I took from it anyway, as an alien.
It's a don't little, we like, see him whatever, back at the immigration, the old immigration place, though, don't we?
Oh, do we? On
Ellis Island. I think that's the last shot.
Oh, so what, he's going to fill in his ghost immigration papers at last? What's he doing? What's the implication there? He's going to, because he's staying, is the idea, right? Like,
that's how I took it.
You will be an immigrant on planet Earth, like Superman or something. He is like Superman, isn't he? Because he's, you know, once he's accustomed to life, he'll have superpowers. Like, he can take his eyeball out and heal people and fix electronics. He should really, I guess, it's good that he has to keep a low profile because he's wanted by space bounty hunters. Because, yeah, this dude should be fucking joining the Justice League or something, shouldn't he, really?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like Superman if Superman was, I mean, if it's Superman is ever cast with a black actor, you could just never it's go bad on the internet again.
It's bad enough that his son is bisexual. Now the fucking woke brigade wants to ruin Superman. An alien from outer space cannot be black.
We would have to permanently turn the internet off.
Yeah, I mean, we know Superman fucks, so this guy, you know, he could. I actually, do you reckon this actor could have been Superman? I could be all right, wouldn't he? What do you need to be Superman? A bit more, do you need to be buff? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't have played Superman X-ray this way.
Vision, laser vision.
he has the magic eye.
Frost breath.
Henry Cavill has all of these.
He can rip people in two if he really wanted to.
Oh, the actor, I'm saying, like, you know, he would pretend to have ice.
I'm pretty sure Henry Cavill could physically rip someone in two.
But could he be a black guy in Harlem? He couldn't, could he?
It would be very controversial if Henry Cavill played a black man.
If a magician on a subway can black up and make friends with a robot, then am I getting confused? I'm not sure. Anyway. So, you know, what are we other guys? Anthony, are you saying, like, do you understand the ending? Like, he is leaving Harlem, or is he, like, back to where he started? What do you think the ending's about?
I don't know. I feel like the point of the ending, okay, not the ending, but the whole point of the ending was that, you know, it's a hard time for immigrants to come to America, but they will all kind of like
persevere,
look out for each other, kind of
there is the community.
Oh, that is like other people. You should remember that your fellow Americans or immigrants could, you know, we should all stick up for each other, kind of thing.
As for the very last image of him like leaving in the train and stuff, I'm not quite sure, you know.
I think it's deliberately vague.
Yeah,
it's we need something. He doesn't fly a bicycle past the moon or nothing. Abby, what about you? You seem to infer you had a more negative opinion of this. What are your final thoughts? Maybe on the ending as well, if you want.
They set up different things at the beginning to what paid off in the end. And to me, that's just bad etiquette.
It was like a mess of ideas. It was loads of like fun ideas. The guy writing it and directing it or whatever had a bunch of interesting little pieces, didn't he, to put out there. But you don't think they gelled together as like a one overall piece, is it?
No.
Would you have preferred
I really had a lot of stuff at the beginning I was interested in seeing play out, and then it just didn't.
Yeah, what would you do differently? Do you think you would keep it to a more of a about living in Harlem and surviving as a weird alien, or would you want like what would you want less of, or what would you think it should have done then to get it right?
I think maybe just rather than make it things happening in series for some things to be happening parallel, because it was just he had a job, then he had some drugs, then he had sex with someone, then they beat the bad guys.
Yeah, I would. I think more from the Men in Black, like more of their experiences happening in parallel would have been interesting, and like maybe cut some of the experiences for Joe Morton's character a bit shorter to like tighten up the film and have like almost seeing their different types of experiences as different types of, you know, aliens. You know, immigrants in that like allegorical sense.
And generally speaking, immigrant stories don't end with all the other immigrants teaming up together and seeing off the immigrant officers. Like the immigrant experience is about, you know, finding the balance between fitting in and staying true to your roots or betraying them. Like, you might not stick to who you were. You know, it's about finding your place and getting to understand the difficult beast that is New York. That's the experience for a lot of immigrants, I think, is that it's a struggle, but it is an immigrant city, so eventually you will acclimatize.
I think it's I'm agreeing with Abby on this. Like, it's lots of interesting ideas and bits and pieces that are good. I generally did enjoy it, but I wish it was tighter and more focused.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what I would say. Anthony, you found this. What do you think? What are your final thoughts?
The first time I watched it, I would agree with kind of Abby and Jamie's assessment with it being just a little bit too disconnected. And I think that's kind of because I was coming in expecting, you know, a normal run-of-the-mill alien sci-fi film. But I will say, the second time I watched it, and you know, I was coming in knowing what it was and kind of like accepting it for what it was, I enjoyed it more, because you can take the little bits as their own little things. Then you know it's not all connected per se. And I will say, you know, if you might want to give it a chance a second time, you might enjoy it a little bit more. I could
see watching this again and getting a bit more out of it. I would definitely watch this again before like watching E.T. again. Like, and I think it's kind of a shame that this film has sort of disappeared. Like, yeah, I think there's some stuff going on in this film that it would kind of deserves to be a little bit more recognized and re-examined, I think.
Yeah, I think the cheapness of the poster, the wackiness of the name, did a disservice. But it's more of an indie gem than it is a piece of trash. And I think it's because all the actors and performers are really good. I think some of them seem very authentic.
Yeah.
And genuine.
More bar stuff. That's what I wanted from it as well. More stuff in the bar.
Yeah. Brother from another watering hole. That's what we need. He's just like, he's drawn to the bar because he has something, the equivalent of a bar on his planet. And then he gets to know how and understand a human bar, and how that, and it's not so different, you know, drunken assholes.
I think you've just given me an idea for a script.
Oh, more power to you! I'd watch Alien Barfly anyway. But yeah, no, I don't know. A lot of good stuff, you know, few problems, but more good than bad, enjoyable. Yeah, like it works. I think it's a general, like, positive reaction to it, even if we all come to different moral conclusions about how fucking aliens and healing, wasting healing powers on, oh, I've healed one little boy and my leg. No more, because I'll get in trouble. Oh, thanks. Thanks. Be a doctor or something and have magic healing hands. No, I'll work in an arcade place. Or we don't even know. It's kind of like, what happens to this guy? It could have a sequel. It's not like being there. The guy's a gardener and a simpleton, and people assume he's smarter than he is or project onto him. And where this one is like, well, this guy, he is savvy, just can't talk, and he's getting it, and he's got powers. I mean, this guy's a fucking asset to anyone beyond, you know, fixing electronics. It's a shame that he's not going to be our Superman in a way. Maybe he will. Yeah, that's it. Superman sequel, where this is the prequel. If you do make a new Superman, they seem to make them all the time anyway, right? Make another new Superman. Get fuck off Gunn. Never mind, Gunn's not making him anymore. Get this director back. And he does a sequel, and then it's brother from Krypton. And it's a sequel to this. We pick up, he becomes the new Superman. That's my hot take. Never too many Superman movies, am I right?
I mean, I think we're getting like Superman, Batman, whatever else from DC and Marvel, where you have like,
hey, there's a writer strike on as we record this. That's so true. Get me. I'll scab. Black Superman. or whatever. Yeah.
Be an interesting power move by various groups where it's like, oh, we'll write for you if you let us write this.
Oh, now's the time. If you want to be a scab but also make a point.
Yeah, change the face of TV and cinema by being really fucking out there and scabbing. Why do we call people who work while there's a union strike on, why do they get called like dried up blood over a wound? Like, what, is it just because that's horrible?
Yeah, because they deserve it.
But no one else gets called a scab. There's only when you go against striking workers you get called a scab. Food for thought. There's no answer, I guess, to that. Anyway, best of luck to the writers. They deserve more pay. And I don't know. Write this as a sequel to Superman or something. That presumably the big wigs, all the studios are like, yay, have all the money. When Netflix goes, we can pay people fairly, and Bezos changes his tune, then write this. How we want, do a sequel. Anyway, time to end the podcast now. Goodbyes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.